Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you are. Welcome to the We Rate Ads podcast over at WeRateAds.com and on podcast services around the globe. I am Alec, here with my co-host, Max.
What's up, everybody?
So you can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Anchor early. So if you're on Anchor right now, you can, if you're not on Anchor, actually, why don't you come on over here, give us a follow. Yeah, you can get episodes about a day early before they hit the rest of the podcast feeds. From there, if you want to engage with the show, you can head over to WeRateAds.com. Head over to the email section, fill out your email, fill out an inquiry, an ad that you like that week, a campaign you want to talk about, a campaign you hate and still want to talk about. We are going to start doing user submissions probably in the next couple episodes as they come trickling in. If that's too much work for you, go follow us on Twitter. Go follow us on Instagram at WeRateAds. Add us there. DM us there. Send us campaigns that you like. Send us topics that you want us to talk about. We're all ears. So the topic of the show this week, we're going to dive into the best earned media brands. So talking about brands like Tesla, Costco, Apple, on how they absolutely dominate the earned media space. And it just increases their brand value by that much. So first on this list, I guess we can both speak to this pretty well, but I put down Tesla. So I'm sure if you're listening to the show, maybe you have, maybe you haven't heard, Tesla really does not spend money on advertising. One of the big things, I'm pulling up an article here from Ad Age. So as an example, Nissan in 2016 spent $4.3 million in measured media on the Nissan Leaf, which was their entry-level electric car, including print ads, yada, yada, yada. So by contrast, Tesla spent nothing on the Model 3, according to Cantor, as of 2017. I think that rolled into 2018. I mean, I don't know about you, Max, but have you ever seen a Tesla ad?
I feel like I've seen a Tesla print or out-of-home ad, but right, not for the Model 3. It was for the Model S, I believe, like 2 years ago.
Yeah, so I think later in their later years, so I think probably 2016, 2017, they started rolling out some ads for the Model S and the Model X, but I think more than anything, it was really print material and not necessarily paid. So I think the most that I've ever seen was published on social and published online. You know, we can speak to kind of what makes a great, or what makes great earned media and the brands that don't necessarily not need advertising, but they can really leverage their brand awareness and their great products for that. So I guess I'll dive into a quick why I think Tesla is, you know, perfect in this space. So obviously, right, they don't have a large, if any, ad spend through display or commercial. I mean, I don't think Tesla's ever produced a commercial. So the reason I think Tesla's great is every company that has some of the best earned media, so even you have Virgin, you have, you know, classic Apple, but we'll get into them later, but you have the CEO, the founder, the spokesperson for the company that really drives those earned media impressions, right? So Elon Musk tweets something, he says something. I mean, it's, you hear about it, right? Through one way or another, whether it's something crazy idea like the Hyperloop, which I think is incredible, but just kind of goes to show like he's coming up with these futuristic ideas, right? In spaceflight with SpaceX and solar with Solar City, that what he says, it really speaks to the products, and that's kind of what comes across in the media space, where, you know, he just has to really talk about these things and talk about these great ideas, crazy ideas, you know, moonshot ideas, and it works.
Yeah, he is most certainly the moonshot entrepreneur innovator of our generation, literally, or even Mars shot, as you want to call it. He's on a personal mission to colonize Mars. But I think when you talk about Tesla's earned media, you have to kind of separate into two different things. I think you have to separate into Elon Musk's earned media and Tesla's earned media. Because Elon Musk tweets so much, so many different things, that he actually gets fined by the SEC and has, you know, government regulators coming after him, literally wondering why he tweeted different things. That in and of itself is going to get tons of news and earned media impressions just for him being an eccentric moon or Mars shotter, as we'll call him. But when it comes to actual Tesla earned media, you know, Tesla might not run Facebook ads or commercials or magazine ads or out-of-home ads, but they do have stores. They've had stores for a number of years now, which kind of act as billboards, right, in your local mall, right, even though they are shutting, I think, what, 70, 80% of those?
Yeah, I was going to mention that as of the recording of this podcast, something like that.
So you take that for what it's worth, but also, and this is something we'll get into when we talk about Apple, but the events alone, right, instead of coming out with, you know, a new clothing line and posting it on your website, or coming out with a new car and posting it on your website, or unveiling it at an auto show when everyone else is talking about just generic cars and you get lost in the sea of other car companies announcing their cars, just like Apple, they make a special event outside of any kind of industry news cycles. They invite the press to come. They put a big shiny bow over their new product, and they make it an event worthy of writing press about. So they really do earn the media, number one, because they're a crazy, innovative moon or Mars shot, kind of like that idea of Mars shot,
right,
company, right? So they're definitely earning their media that way, but they're also earning their media through Elon being this crazy eccentric founder. So I think Tesla is a perfect first example of earned media and why they might not ever need to run commercials.
Yeah, 100% agree. So like I said, at the recording of this podcast about a week ago, Tesla announced, you know, the price drop for the Model 3, price drop for the S and X, although theirs was slightly more or slightly less than what the Model 3 was proportionally. But what was interesting to me is them shutting down, you know, 70, 80% of their stores, which is an interesting time for Tesla, because they've kind of graduated, I feel like, from this enthusiast culture of electric cars and, you know, more kind of a tech-focused branding, where, I mean, they have this, they were competing in the market cap of Ford and GM, and, you know, they are a serious player in the space. And I think what's difficult now to render is like the typical car buying process is you go into a showroom, you check out the cars, you test drive the cars, you know? So I think getting rid of that is a tough point right now for them. I think it's a tough call. I mean, it makes the cars cheaper and more affordable, like the Model 3, which is great. But I will say, like you hinted to, I mean, or like you spoke about, the best part about Tesla is the Tesla, it's the product, it's the car, it's the, you know, the 5-star safety crash test rating. I mean, all their cars get incredible ratings. So, I mean, it just really speaks to the product, which helps, you know. People are talking about your car is the best, right? I mean, that's really the narrative around that, so.
Alec, what do you think it will take for Tesla to have to start running ads, if at all? What do you think has to happen in their company, in the industry? Like, at what point do they have to start running ads, and what do those ads look like in your experience?
That's a really good, that's a great segue and great topic. What I would say, my number one thing right now is I didn't get a chance to listen to their, well, I guess it wasn't over an investor's call, but I'm interested to hear their next investor's call, because they said they closed their stores to scale back on costs to make, you know, the cars more affordable, to pass those savings onto the cars and make them cheaper. But without the stores, like I said, I think, you know, that mass middle America brand awareness that, you know, they spent years setting the infrastructure up for. I mean, you can drive, I think, two or three different paths across the country with Tesla putting superchargers all over the country, right? So, I mean, if you're going to close down the stores in the rest of the country and leave them up in big metros that have a ton of these superchargers, I mean, are you just giving up like in the middle of the country? I think no. I think that is something that they're going to have. They have their repair shops there. You know, they have their, I don't know about offices, but I know that they do have their, they're going to have to keep their repair shops there specifically. And they rolled out a program where you can test drive the car, I believe, and they bring it to you. So I'm sure from these, you know, mechanic facilities, they're able to send cars out to people in those areas. But I think now is probably going to be the best time for them to start running advertising with, you know, hey, you're not going to see them at the mall anymore. You're not going to see them driving around. To get in one, you have to like go to their website and have them basically come and deliver it to you, or potentially, you know, drive to your closest city if the showrooms are still there. So I think now, I mean, it would be what is going to have to drive them to that if they still want to keep up that mass market momentum and get, you know, everyone into their cars. What about you? Any thoughts on anything else that would kind of force them into it?
I think you're spot on. When it comes to running ads for Tesla, it's going to be the point where they have to penetrate the middle market that can afford the $35,000, $40,000, $50,000 car range. You know, everyone knows a Tesla if you're in the tech community. Everyone knows a Tesla if you live in Beverly Hills or Manhattan or Palm Beach. You know, if you live in a very wealthy area, you certainly know about Teslas. But the whole idea of unveiling a $35,000 Tesla is, if you ever plan to buy a Nissan Leaf, which is $35,000, there's really no reason to when you can buy a Tesla, which drives itself.
Right.
So, and has so much more technology and will last so much longer and everything else. So, yeah, I think you're spot on. It's going to be when they need to really infiltrate that middle market. But I think that's a number of years away, simply based on how many of them they're churning out. Right there, everyone in the middle, in the very expensive markets, are going to start buying the Model 3. But they can't even keep up with demand now, from what it sounds like. So, I think they're years away from running ads. But I'm very, very excited to see what those ads look like whenever they actually come out.
Yeah, and I'm excited. We'll definitely have an episode once they do, because that would be fun. Knowing Elon Musk and what he'll, I mean, with the SEC, he just changed his Twitter name just as a joke, like laughing, like, haha, I'm not Elon Musk. I can tweet whatever I want. So, I mean, I can imagine the kind of ads that he'll be setting forth. So, you want to take the lead on Apple? I know you know this kind of better than I do.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I mentioned the event that Tesla does. I think it's very much modeled after the Steve Jobs-esque product launch. Apple is simply the best at this, and it's for a good reason. Their products are amazing, but they know how to really put on a show. And twice a year, whether it be at WWDC or a special event, they know how to build hype. They always leak the product to one particular outlet,
right,
a couple weeks before. That's earned media, because then all of the other outlets will jump on it. Then they announce the time and the event location and the date a couple weeks before. Everything that they do, they're just trickling out a little bit more information. And every time they do that, they're earning more and more and more media. So they're the absolute pros at it. And I really don't have much else to say. I think for them, it really stems around the events and the product launches. They really don't do a whole lot in between, which I think is also another really good example of how they do it better than everyone else. There's a lot of companies that want to be in the news all the time, nonstop, you know, year round. Apple really picks and chooses its spots, and that's a big reason why news outlets are so quick to jump on any little tidbit, any little news, any little noteworthy thing that they can get about Apple. So I think they're the absolute pros at it. You got to credit Steve Jobs. If you haven't seen the videos, from the old Steve Jobs product launches from before we were born, Alec.
Yeah, I mean, those are no, those are something special.
What do you think? What am I missing?
No, I mean, nail on the head. I always say there's really nothing like tech, and there's nothing like gaming in terms of bringing those conferences and those presentations together to honestly just bring the hype, right? I mean, I remember in college, right, the day of those conferences, we would be watching them in class, you know, we'd be talking about them later in the day. I mean, there's just something about those that is so good that really no other industry does, which is interesting, is Tesla does them. Just circle back to them, like you just said, I mean, Tesla does those events because Tesla is, at its heart, feels like a tech company, right? There's something that inherent about those events. It's exciting, the speculation, right? You can speculate about movies and, you know, TV shows, but those presentations are way, I mean, there's not a presentation. It's usually just a PR statement saying, hey, this person's helming and writing this. This person's directing this. When it comes to like tech and products, and Apple is the master of this. Apple almost invented this, right? Like Steve Jobs, like you were saying. I mean, just the showman that he was. It builds up not only the day of and the day after and the day after that, months and months of news cycles leading up to that. Just, you know, hey, rumored, here's a new iPhone. And like you said, I mean, Apple coincidentally always gets, you know, XYZ products leaked to certain outlets a few days beforehand. But what's interesting is if you die hard, you know, reporters, I don't die hard, but reporters in the space, that you'll see like this trickle content coming out almost like once a week. I mean, you'll see like rumor, right? MacBook Pro 2019 upgrades to larger hard drive storage and all these little kind of trickle content that comes out. And I mean, Apple's a huge company. That could definitely be, those could definitely be, you know, I call them real leaks, but I mean, it's just something that keeps the conversation going and it keeps people interested. And then I guess just on top of it, right, they have great supplemented ads, but I feel like they don't, I want to say they don't need them at this point, but their ads are almost just, we dove into that a little bit last week, but their ads are almost just like feel good, right? I mean, you just see that and it drives home what they want to enforce about their brand, I think, more than anything.
Yeah, that's a really good point. As you were kind of telling your side of the Apple case, that reminded me, you know, Apple does spend a lot of money on ads, right?
Right, yeah.
So yes, I mean, they may be the best at earned media, arguably. So they do spend a lot of money on ads. This is actually a topic that came up in one of our client meetings today, the concept of an evergreen ad. It's something that we run for a lot of our clients, which is just kind of an ad that's always running for not a whole lot of investment. Right. That's always just reminding people, hey, here's our product. Hey, here's our service. Hey, here's what we stand for. Doesn't actually necessarily need to sell a specific product. It's more of just promoting the brand and what the brand stands for. That is very, very, very healthy if you have the money to do it. And Apple, again, not to keep saying they're the best for the second episode in a row and for multiple topics across the board, but it seems like, hey, they might be. They do this the best, right? The Animoji campaign that we talked about last week, it's not promoting a specific product that's going to make them money. We all have Animojis built on our phones, right? Or the iconic dancing iTunes iPod commercial with the silhouette of the person dancing. That's not necessarily promoting an iPhone, or it's not promoting iTunes or buying a specific song. It's promoting the brand. Like you said, it's feel good. And so these evergreen ads, I think, are just like the sprinkles that are constantly being dropped in between what's really this brilliant earned media strategy of campaign, or excuse me, product launch, so on and so forth. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of hit the nail on the head. It seems to me more their advertising is just supplemental to their inherent brand awareness around these events, around these product launches. I mean, you have people come home after hearing about the event and they're going to tell someone, hey, did you hear about the new iPhone? Or, I mean, the flip end, or the flip side of it, right? People can be saying that the same about Samsung, but Apple really invented this global spectacle around these events. I was watching the last one on Twitch, actually, between Twitch and YouTube, because I wanted to see the live numbers. You're in like the 50, 60K plus, and those are on unofficial channels. I think they actually do stream it to Twitter now, if I'm not mistaken, but their primary source, I feel like people watch, is on Apple, you know, .com through their webcasts. But it's incredible that those events themselves are just these kind of spectacles, and then the ads are trickled out, let alone that Apple probably is one of the top ad spenders. I mean, we could definitely look up the data, but factually, Apple's going to be one of the top ad spenders across every channel.
I have that data literally sitting on my desk from a pamphlet from, I think it's Ad Age, like the top spenders in TV and out of home and everything. I don't think Apple was on there, but we should definitely look into that. That's a really interesting point. There are some companies that spend billions of dollars a year on ads, and a lot of that content's evergreen too. But I think this is actually a really interesting point. Don't know the demographic yet of our listeners. What's up, everybody? But this may be a really good point to talk about a lesson that we all could learn from some of these ad campaigns. If you have the money, evergreen ads work, right? I mean,
yeah, I agree.
What Apple does with the feel goods, as Alec calls them, works. And it's not just because their earned media is so good. It's not just because their product is so good. Constantly reminding people why you exist, what your brand stands for, how people feel when they use your product, instead of just promoting the product, is a very effective strategy.
Yeah, I mean, I just pulled up quickly from Pathmatics. Go over and give them a click, but they're pulling 2016 data from Apple's digital spend as the 18th highest digital advertising spender of that year at $78 million, and then in 2015, $131 million. So they were probably ranging in the top 10 for 2015, which, I mean, they just, television ads, they can afford like nobody's business. And I know they do spend a lot on video as well. But I mean, the production of those, the cost of production are probably looped into those, and those are expensive. The pieces they run are expensive. That animation, it's got to be $100,000 per video, I'd say.
Oh, millions, I'm sure. I mean, the animation for the Animoji campaign we chatted about last time.
Yeah, then I'm curious, right? We chatted about that, and I'm like, who? I understand the billings for the agency, right, are going to be a lot. But I wonder if they're rendering those, you know, in phone, and then just putting them on, putting them together. And then obviously they're doing post work with all the combinations, because you can't, you know, duplicate all those, you know, side profiles and stuff like that. But are those brand new renders? Like, I have no idea. I would assume, I mean, people were doing it on Twitter, you know, and Emoji Karaoke, and they looked great. So I don't understand why they just wouldn't do it for themselves.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating how they pulled together all of these different ad campaigns. But I think the combo of earned media and these campaigns clearly work, because they are the best tech company in the world, if not all time. Here, largest revenue and impact, most amount of customers, all time. Who do you think is an honorable mention, earned media?
Honorable mention, earned media space. So I alluded to it before, it's no secret for anyone who knows me, but really anyone in the game space. So I will shout out Microsoft, Sony there, in that game journalism and game media is rabid with fans of, right, anything happens. And I mean, you look kind of Fortnite itself, how that took over, you know, mainstream kind of pop culture, but that is definitely an exception. But you have these conferences like E3, GDC, PAX, where you do get some film news. I'm sure like most of the film trailers that you're going to see for Marvel and DC films come out of there, Comic-Con, etc. But there's not other than like a South by Southwest for tech, and what's the, no, I'm spacing on it, the January conference for tech, the biggest one in Vegas.
E3?
No, for tech.
Oh, CIS.
Yeah, CES, yeah. So, I mean, CES, South by Southwest. I know there's a lot of other tech conferences throughout the year, but that is primarily where the earned media comes from. So you have this in gaming, and partly a lot of these conferences like Comic-Con are intertwined with film as well. You get a lot of that same, those related kind of movies like Marvel and DC. But like with gaming, the earned media is just unbelievable when you see, I mean, Xbox comes out with a new console, PlayStation comes out with a new console, Nintendo, right? It's something that hits the local news, the late night news, along with Apple, along with Tesla coming out with a new car. And they're not free. They're obviously not free, but if Apple tomorrow or Tesla tomorrow or Microsoft or Sony or any of these tech companies specifically just wanted to release a trailer and not even do one of these conferences, they could. It's just something about that fanfare and something about the waiting, right? I think we get that kind of trickle cycle of products that we expect. So from a game manufacturer, you're looking at, you know, every 5+ years with like a 3-year console cycle iteration. And, you know, for iPhones, you're looking like once a year, would you say? About once a year for iPhones?
I would say every 2 years, right? Because that's how long the contracts last.
Don't we get an S, like a 0.5?
Well, we get a new one every year, but I think for the average consumer,
right,
because
right,
you're on a 2-year contract.
Of course, right. But I think we've come to a point where, and I'm not going to call it like planned obsolescence or something like that, because it's not that. It's just we're constantly kind of waiting on these companies to improve and to iterate. They're like these living ecosystems where, you know, outlets want to talk about them. I mean, it's like forever evolving. Well, you get into a lot of industries and it's like, oh, Coke has a new flavor. It's like, oh, okay, cool, right? It's like, you know, McDonald's, oh, new burger, right? Like, I'm trying to think of just big brands where they don't have things like this. And you'd think of, you can kind of blend tech into a mix of like entertainment, right? A lot of things associated with Apple are entertainment. Tesla's, you know, a car, but it's fun. So I think you really have these trickles, but when you look into like film and TV, you don't have these big conferences that people just talk about, right? So I think that, and it comes down to product as well, right? But I would say the gaming industry as a whole, long story short, is very good with earned media.
Yeah, you know a lot more about the gaming world than I do. I think it's interesting that every example we've given tonight or this morning, wherever you are in the world and are listening to, is an event based or somehow based around a product launch or an event where a bunch of your fans or customers come together to kind of chat with each other. My community. Honorable mention. Yeah, it's all community, right? It's all buzz and expansion within your community. My honorable mention is Burger King.
Ah, love to hear this.
What?
I'd love to hear this.
Yeah, I mean, two things that really stick out to me about Burger King's earned media. Number one, their Twitter feed, all they do all day is clap back at fans and tweet at other competitor brands.
There you go. Shout out to Wendy's.
Well, I was thinking, is it Wendy's or is it Burger King? But then I realized there's a second part to why I think Burger King is great at earned media that Wendy's is not. And that is they get earned media from their advertising. So because they will run a really silly ad across the street from McDonald's saying our burgers are better, that alone will get a handful of BuzzFeed articles and Business Insider articles written about it. You know, Burger King's new ad is placed across the street from McDonald's. You got to see this. And so through their ads and through their tweets and just kind of being silly and a little bit obnoxious, they get a lot of earned media from that. And I'm sure it equates to millions of dollars a year because some of their tweets have garnered millions of impressions. and millions of retweets and millions of likes. So yeah. I think Burger King is doing it in a very 2019 way. And, you know, they have been for a while with their tweets, but I think they're doing it in a very kind of modern, you know, 2010s as this era is called.
Yeah. And I'd love to do a whole episode just on brands and their social media. And honestly, I would love to take that number, and we can do this, you know, we'll do this off the podcast, but we'll take the number of earned impressions that they get from a tweet, right? Free tweet, right? Non-promoted, send it out. And I would love to run through, you know, some of the top five brands that we enjoy on there and quantify that in terms of what that would look like in terms of ad spend. So if they spent to get, you know, 1.8 million impressions or video views or whatever it may be, I would love to just go through, because that's value. Like, I would do anything, and I would love to have someone from the Burger King team or the Wendy's team on the show, because first of all, I know they're hilarious. It'd be super entertaining, but that's right, its own earned media on its whole. I mean, it's being funny, it's being entertaining, and just like you said, them spending the money on the campaign to do that across the street from McDonald's, or even the Netflix is a joke. I mean, do you know about this campaign?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that is definitely a third quick honorable mention. So if you haven't heard about this, Netflix did a campaign when they started picking up a lot of comedy specials called Netflix is a Joke. So they took out a ton of billboards across New York, LA, probably Chicago and Florida, etc. And it just plastered everywhere, Netflix is a Joke. And people were trying to figure out what it was. You know, BuzzFeed, Business Insider, etc. They were all writing about it. And the tens of millions of impressions they must have gotten from that for the cost of the ad space. I mean, they could have tweeted. I think they did start up a separate account called like Netflix is a Joke. And, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, tweeted us, but pretty sure they were like bashing Netflix. They were just adding them, and they're like, you're a joke, you're a joke, you're a joke. And I mean, it's brilliant. I mean, that costs nothing. Like, that was free on Twitter, and the article is written about it. So yeah, I mean, that is being clever and funny just pays off. I mean, in most advertising. Especially for earned media.
No doubt for earned media.
Yeah. So with that segue, should we get into some of our favorite ads of the last week or two?
Let's do it.
Cool.
Let's do it.
So I guess we'll ping pong here. I'll dive into the Grammy. Not the Grammys, the Oscars. So I'm not sure how much you watched for the Oscars, if any. Did you watch any of the Oscars or no?
I watched an hour of the Oscars on a flight because JetBlue had live TV. So
yeah, shout out to JetBlue. We have to do an entire episode about them. They have some of the best copy I've ever seen.
And their social media is great. They have 50 full-time people in an office just dedicated to responding to people.
It's amazing.
On social media accounts.
I mean, their current tagline, I think it's "you above all," is flawless. Yeah, so the Academy Awards, kind of just two honorable mentions I wanted to throw in here and rate them for the week. So if you haven't seen it, Google's piece on, it's called "Hey Google, Let's Go to the Movies." And they did a similar thing for Home Alone with Macaulay Culkin, where they insert and take clips from old movies. Can't imagine how much this cost them in rights, but it's Google, so it's worth it. They take back old movies and they integrate Google into them. So an example here was starting, one of the first things was, I think it was Ed from The Hangover, I don't remember his name, but he comes in and he's like, "Hey Google, show me pictures from last night." And it brings up all the pictures from The Hangover. They go into Lady Bird, where she's in the she's talking to her mom in the car, having that awkward conversation, and she goes, "Hey Google, call me a Lyft." And then it's the same exact scene from the movie. I think they just dubbed over her voice or whatever it was. And then she rolls out of the car. And then they have it for Deadpool. And Deadpool's like, you know, Ryan Reynolds is like, "What's my schedule? Hey, Google, what's my schedule for today?" And it goes, appear in a Google ad. And he's like, "Yeah, right. Like, that'll never happen." And the whole time they have the Ramones playing in the background. It's so good. And I don't want to say, it has to be, I'd love to know the price that they have to pay for all these licensing rights. And but it's just so good. I mean, it kind of has something when you look at the timing and all the movies that they picked. So just off the top of my head, Hangover, Scream, Lady Bird, Deadpool, one or two movies in there I'm missing, but the variance of those for the Oscars hit kind of anyone who was watching it, right? So they were smart in their choice of, hey, this should resonate with everyone. Deadpool resonates with you, but Lady Bird resonates with you, Hangover resonates with you, right? So I think that was genius just in terms of formulating that, because the Home Alone one was great. My only thing about that is if you've never seen Home Alone or, you know, yada, 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 you're not going to fully understand that and be kind of part of that conversation, although I know people loved it. I mean, I loved it. But I think that was great just in terms of their choice, in terms of their creative vision around it. So honorable mention to them. Do you want me to go to my next one? Do you want to dive in AT&T?
You can keep going. You can
cool.
Keep going.
Yeah, so I'll just kind of do the quick bad. So I don't know if you saw this, but Walmart did a campaign where it was styled by Walmart for the crew for films. Now, I have no problem with shopping at Walmart. I shop at Target for my pants, some shirts. I love it. I love Target. But my issue with this is they're running it in between, like, the red carpet, where you have these, you know, actors, actresses, directors, etc. The whole thing is like, you know, to show off they're wearing Versace, Gucci, whatever it may be. And that's great. But then it's kind of a weird sting. It actually makes Walmart, I think, look bad when they're sitting there and they're like, hey, well, you know, we don't dress these people, but like we dress the crew. I don't know if you saw this campaign, but look it up. It's called Styled by Walmart with Walmart Fashion. I thought it was just such a weird... I thought it was them knocking their own brand down a peg. I mean, not to, like, knock down crew or anything. Like, I worked PA and crew in college and, like, freelancing. But, like, just a weird alignment, I think, for them that they just did not need to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I watched both of those ads when you sent them to me. My 1 cent or 2 cent opinion on each. Simply the Walmart one, I thought was extremely clever. I thought it was really, really, really smart, but I had the same exact reaction you did. More in like a questioning sort of sense. Questioning what were they intended? And what did they intend that to be? And who did they intend that to speak to?
Right.
Everything you said about that ad, I totally get. But I thought it was really clever the way they did it, the way they panned from like the movie star down to the person on the set cleaning the movie star, down to the person cleaning the person on set cleaning.
Right.
Was really clever. The concept was brilliant. I was shocked at the end when it was a Walmart ad.
Yeah.
I was shocked.
You'd think it'd be like even a J. Crew or something. And like,
well, my first thought was Walmart clothes? Are they trying to get into fashion now? And What is this about? You brought up Target. That's a really good point. I forgot that Target has a lot of clothes.
Target has fantastic clothes. I'll plug Target all day. Target.
I have some clothes from Target, but a lot of t-shirts, actually. But great gym t-shirts. Yeah, we could just plug those all
day. A whole Target episode.
All podcasts.
Yeah.
All podcasts. But yeah, I think it's interesting that Walmart chose that. Again, would love to get someone from Walmart on the show to figure that out. And then the Google ad I thought was absolutely brilliant. You described me with the Home Alone Macaulay Culkin experience. I've seen maybe one Home Alone, and I saw it when I was like 10 years old.
Right.
Don't remember much of it. I thought it was clever, but I didn't appreciate it as much as I appreciated this piece. And I thought it was extremely well done. Reminded me a lot of an Apple ad kind of taken to the next level, right, where you really kind of get the sense that, hey, I'm not the only one using OK Google, or I'm not the only one, like, if these celebrities and actors and characters and movies could use OK Google in their everyday life, I can too. And I thought, you know, anytime someone makes a character that we all love, that we all resonate with, or want to be, approachable and reminds me that I'm kind of like them, that's a win. So not to get into the ratings right away, but that was a 9 out of 10 for me for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like bringing, it's kind of weird. It feels like, and I don't believe anyone in these ads were like deceased, like from the movies that they were doing. Not that I can think of, but it kind of feels like those holograph concerts that they were doing. They tried to do the Beatles, they did Tupac at Coachella. It felt like in a good way, right? Like it was kind of throwing you off. You're like, wait, I don't remember that in the movie. Like that obviously was not in the movie. But creatively, they did a great job of implementing it. Yeah, and I'm not going to drag Walmart through the mud here, but man, I don't know. Maybe it's just like my, and I don't say I love Walmart, but I like Walmart. I think it was just, I mean, I guess they don't perceive their own brand as that, but I don't know why it just felt kind of like insulting. Where like, even like you said with the pan, and like I enjoyed those shots. But what's interesting is you pan up to like this, I think the one that I have linked here, you have like the superhero and like the famous actor or whatever, and then it pans down to like the person's like, oh, here's like a superhero, big celebrity wearing Gucci Prada, whatever, which like I said, it's great, like, you know, who cares? But, and you pan down and the person's, it's like, oh yeah, they're wearing Walmart. And it's like, what? It's like, excuse me? So yeah, I mean, I was trying to find on Twitter after for the longest time, people bashing it, but I found a couple of people being just like, this is really off-putting, but interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, also, sure. Also on that note, not inspiring to the people that wear Walmart clothes.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, being crew is freaking awesome. Like, I love doing it. It's one of the coolest things, one of the best jobs I've ever had. But it's like, I don't know if you're, I guess their message, and I get it, right? Like, Walmart for the everyday person, right? Okay, I get it if that's your message. But it's not inspiring you to buy it, where most products are, hey, Julia Roberts or whoever is wearing this, and it's not Walmart. So
this is really interesting. I enjoy as we talk through these things. That's one of the really cool things I was looking forward to about this podcast and doing this with you, and it's coming to light. I'm starting to think and compare the ads to each other. I feel like this Walmart ad was their take at the Nike Colin Kaepernick ad. Because the Kaepernick ad was basically saying, if you stand for what Kaepernick stands for, we want you wearing Nike. I think Walmart's saying here, if you're this person on set, we want you wearing Walmart.
Or if you see yourself in...
Or if you see yourself in this role job, on right. set, or you know, whatever the similar equivalent career, in your whatever industry maybe, is, right. exactly, on set or in your industry, then we want you wearing Walmart. I just don't know if it was as tastefully done and spoke to their audience as much as
right.
we thought. But.
Exactly. And then I'm like, well, and like I said, nothing, you know, against, you know, Walmart and their clothes, but maybe it's just our perception and honest media perception, right, of like Walmart. It's like, do you like aspire to that? You know what I mean? Like, are we going for like an aspirational thing when you're talking about like the movies and whatever, and it's kind of this big night. And it's an expensive campaign, man. I mean, they ran at least 5 separate ads throughout the show. Early show, pre-show, etc. So they're really behind it, and they can really only use it that night. Obviously, I guess they can recycle it next year, or, I mean, the Academy Awards is the last, I think, televised awards show in this space, so that's interesting.
In the season of award shows, you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, it's over, unless they did this, and I didn't see it. I watched the Emmys. I didn't see this during the Emmys, so it's kind of a one and done in terms of this campaign. But yeah, I don't want to beat a dead horse. I just thought it was interesting. And like I said, I don't really have any bad feelings towards Walmart. I just think it was a weird alignment. I'll say this. I know you feel a little bit better about it than I do. Would you think it would make more sense if it was a Target?
If it was a Target ad?
Yeah. Like, do you have a different brand perception of Target over Walmart?
Yes.
Okay, exactly. I mean...
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm just thinking, yeah. Yeah. I think definitely a little bit. I've been watching Walmart pretty closely the last year, year and a half.
It's incredible.
I think they're slowly but surely catching up to Amazon when it comes to tech and brand and just everything in the space that has to do with shipping and commerce, not necessarily Amazon Web Services and the tech on that side of the fence, but on that side of the business. But I've been watching Walmart closely, and when I saw the end, when I said Walmart closed, or what was the tagline? Walmart.
Styled by Walmart, with Walmart fashion.
Styled by Walmart. Does Walmart have stylists now? Like, you walk into Nordstrom's or Bloomingdale's, and, you know, you have someone to help you find the right fit shirt? Does Walmart have?
I mean, I walk into Target, and I'm like, I love it. But then I've been to a ton of Walmarts, and, like, you know, everyone has their own style, but I feel like is a relatively new push to combat what Target's doing with actually good designers and just kind of more modern city takes, I guess. But
yeah, who knows? Maybe this is the springboard for them to get into fashion.
Could be. I mean, maybe. What's interesting is, and if you're listening to this, whenever it is, tweet at us to remind us to do a Walmart versus Kmart versus Target episode, because that would be fantastic, comparing all their advertising over the years and kind of seeing how Target ended up where it is. But Target, interestingly enough, like you just said, is quote unquote like competing with Amazon, and they have partnerships with Casper. They carry Casper, they carry Quip, they carry BarkBox, and these are all very, I hate the term, but like millennial startup companies that, you know, they're getting ahead on and saying like, hey, we want you in our shop, you know, make us look, or in our shop, in our store, you know, make us look more modern, keep us up with, you know, the latest. Because they do some of the best advertising, you know, we'll get into those in future episodes, but like a Quip, a Casper, a BarkBox.
Well, it's funny, when you were talking about bringing Tesla sales from the store to online only, my thought, and I didn't interject earlier in the podcast, my thought then was, are we going to be able to buy a Tesla on Amazon soon?
Interesting. Amazon does have Amazon Auto. You can literally buy cars. Well,
We should do a podcast in a year and look back and see if Walmart got a push
in sales or really pushed
fashion outside of this campaign. But what would you rate it if you had to rate it?
Yeah, let's dive into...
You can't give it a 0 out of 10.
I could try.
Although it sounds like that's where it's going.
I could try. Ooh. No, I mean...
Drum roll, please.
I'll add that in. The commercials were beautifully shot. I'll say that. I'll give it a 4. Maybe a 4 out of 10. I just, the messaging. I mean, it was just, I don't call it. Yeah, it was just bad. It just didn't feel right.
Didn't feel right. Walmart, you hear that?
Didn't feel right. Can't wait to get a hate mail from Walmart enthusiasts.
Well, that would be some earned media for our podcast.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah, feel free, Walmart.
Earned media episode.
Feel free to add us. And then the Google one. What would you say for the Walmart, for the quick snippet that you saw?
Are we doing decimal points or no? Can I give it a 6.5?
Sure. It's our rating scale. We can do whatever we want. 6.5, all right.
I think, honestly, it's an A for effort. Because I think it's super clever. I think it's super clever. It was shot well. You know, I liked it. I just think the messaging was off, and if messaging makes up a third or a little more than a third, then that's a 0. But other than that, it was clever.
I don't know, this would be brilliant. This would be unbelievable if they could pull off this campaign. But if it would have been a campaign with call it Ryan Reynolds. Sure. Let's go for Ryan Reynolds. If they did it, he's on the red carpet, he's wearing suits, he's doing whatever, and then it cuts to him on the weekend. He's wearing blue jeans and a button-up from Walmart, or t-shirt from Walmart. That would have been brilliant. And then do a whole campaign at Walmart, like, for off the red carpet. Something like, I mean, that would have been amazing. And I'm saying you need the celebrity, right? Walmart's for their, I feel like their branding and their alignment is, you know, like the average person. But man, that would have been amazing.
Interesting. Interesting Ryan Reynolds choice. That reminds me of the Brett Favre Wrangler jeans.
Yeah, right, exactly. And like, see, that's, I don't know, maybe I'll give Walmart a point there for, they really are trying to apply it to like, hey, this is Walmart's like for everyone, right? Where it's like Gucci and Prada, like those are unobtainable for most people. If they're going for that, which I believe they were, that's a lot better. I just think it seemed more insulting than anything, especially when like the people from Walmart, especially the clip that we saw where it's like the superhero standing and like the person is like cleaning his stuff, and it's like, what, like a weird job for like a grip. It's like, you know, I don't know, but 6.5 to 4.
Seems like we need a whole episode just for this Walmart ad.
Yeah, I mean, I could do it. Google, you gave it a 9 out of 10. I could definitely easily give it a 9 out of 10. That's what I was thinking going into this. So let's actually dive into quickly. So, well, I have to be too quick, but if we want to wrap it up with the AT&T ad.
Yeah, this is an ad that's been around at New York City the last few weeks. I think it started with a commercial. But essentially, they just have pictures of a bunch of different types of people, I believe, that would live in New York. And in the middle, it says, it's a 212 thing. And then it has an AT&T logo in the corner and the parentheses around the 212 as in the area code of New York City, the original area code. I think they're out of 212 numbers now, but the original area code of New York City, 212, with the parentheses are in the same color as the AT&T blue. Super interesting campaign. Been posting it to my Instagram story over the last couple weeks as I see more and more of the faces behind the 212. But I really didn't think about it in the context of greater advertising until I saw an ad today that T-Mobile ran right outside Times Square that says, don't worry, New York City, we got you covered from Manhattan to Montauk. And then I just thought, wow, how many different companies are going to go after Manhattan or just New York City in general? And they're all doing it with very targeted, specific creative and copy to Manhattan and to the people that live here. Only people that kind of know New York City would know what 212 stands for. They're not going to be running that in Chicago or Kansas. Right. I don't think so. Right.
They'll get a lot of unsubscribes if they do.
and the T-Mobile thing, right? A lot of people who don't live in New York City don't know what Montauk is, from my experience. So, you know, we got you covered from NYC or from Manhattan to Montauk. Super interesting ad campaigns, both of them. The AT&T 212 thing, I think, is really clever. I mean, I haven't seen a whole lot of them around Times Square, which makes sense because,
right,
well, not a whole lot of tourists know 212.
That's smart. So that's, I didn't think of that. Yeah,
I think it's it really local. Is targeting the local New Yorker. A lot of our clients have offices or our brick and mortar stores in New York City, so maybe we should take a page out of their book. But yeah, have you seen those around? What do you think?
Interesting. So I haven't seen them around, but I looked them up when you sent them to me. And what's interesting, I found some more information about it. I could pop it up. They actually came up with a site. It's called codesofculture.com. Definitely check it out. We'll link it in the show notes. But what it is you go to codesofculture.com, sponsored by AT&T. It's a 212 thing. Three digits that hold us together, that show us where our home is. They represent what we stand for and where we belong. It's the code that defines us. It's the code of our culture. So interesting. They have 212 New York. They launched it on 212. They launched it on February 12th.
Mm.
And they did a whole event around the city with Revolt, it looks like, which is interesting. Definitely, you know, Google this, and we'll link some of this stuff in the show notes. And then at the bottom, it says coming soon, and there's two open slots. So I'm sure they'll do a 310, and then I wonder if they'll do like a Chicago or like a Miami. So that, I'll definitely echo what you said. It sounds like a great campaign. I have to give so much credit to T-Mobile, and I wonder if they put these campaigns out after the fact, because John Ledger, like I think I said last week on the Grammys episode, so good. He live tweets the other carriers' earnings calls and just trashes them. I mean, if you're not following John Ledger on Twitter, he's literally a comedian. He's the CEO of T-Mobile. And interesting if they put these up after the fact, pretty genius going from, hey, New York City, it's a 212 thing. But then for T-Mobile to go, oh, okay, you just cover New York? Well, we cover from New York to Montauk. Like, do you see what I mean? You see, like, the combativeness? I think that's so clever.
Yeah, it goes back to the Burger King thing, right? Running ads right outside of McDonald's, yeah, saying we're better. I think it's very, very clever.
Yeah. So, I mean, we can run ratings on these now. What do you think for AT&T and for T-Mobile? Not together, but separately.
I'm going to give AT&T a 6 and T-Mobile a 7.
Ah.
Because I think, number one, I like the artistic style of T-Mobile's better. It's more approachable and more fun. Granted, that's just a personal thing. But also, I like the fact that they mentioned Manhattan and Montauk. Whether you've ever been to Montauk or not, you've seen it on a map of New York, if you're a New Yorker, and you can kind of see, oh, like, you're covered that whole way. Now, granted, who knows if T-Mobile service actually is. I have some friends that have T-Mobile, and they complain. But I think that is really picturesque.
Yeah.
And it really describes, paints that picture in my head of what exactly T-Mobile does. The 212 thing, it makes me a little bit more inquisitive. Like, what is a 212 thing?
Right.
Like, what? Like, because New York is so different for everyone. And I guess that's kind of the point of the campaign.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going 6 and 7.
I think they, so I'll give my quick ratings, actually, and then I'll explain why. So I'll say AT&T, I'll give it 4. T-Mobile, I'll give it an 8.
Whoa. So
the reason I'm giving AT&T a 4 on this specifically is because I didn't see it at first, but I see them now. They're still on what I think is one of the laziest campaigns and most, I don't know how to describe it, other than like, oh, hey, fellow kids campaigns I've ever seen. So AT&T's It's Your Thing campaign, like, what's your thing? That's our thing. You've seen that campaign, right?
Yes.
They plastering that. So I just realized it's a 212 thing. So this is a play on that same campaign. And when you go to the website, it's mix of like graffiti. It goes from like graffiti to like impact font to like kind of cursive back to like more.
Yeah, the fonts are weird. That's what I'm saying. The creativity and the creative of T-Mobile, so much better than
I mean, to me, AT&T, there's nothing more, and I think this is obviously what they're trying to get away from, there's nothing more corporate to me than AT&T. There's nothing more like straitjacket, you know, business, enterprise AT&T, which, you know, I have AT&T, and performance is great. You know, I have service, and I mean, everyone's, you know, pretty close to each other now anyway, but I love T-Mobile, and I think Verizon and Amazon to me are kind of the same, where it's like every day. Right, everyday kind of person. Sprint is, you know, going to be T-Mobile soon. But I just, that now that really ticks me off. That it's like, oh, it's a 212 thing. Oh, it's your thing. What's your, like, what a lazy word. Like, oh, it's your thing. Like, we're, you know, we're here for your thing, and what it like, it's just something kind of that's always irked me on that. But I do like the campaign at large if they're doing it. Hey, this is a 3-1-0 thing. Hey, this is a, I don't know what Miami is or Florida or wherever they decide to do next. That's a little more clever, right? Making it like a, I don't know if a rivalry thing is kind of the, now I'm saying thing, but maybe, maybe, you know, that could be a little more clever than just saying, hey, what's your thing? Like, we let you do it. And it's like, it feels very kind of forced. T-Mobile, have to give them credit for the combativeness of it, especially using the word covered, right? Like, you think of, that's kind of like a classic term for, you know, cell phone carriers, or T-Mobile calling themselves the uncarrier, but coverage, right? Like, where do you get coverage? Those, remember, you used to walk in, you get those coverage maps when you walk in like an old T-Mobile or AT&T. So I think them saying that coverage is interesting. Like, we cover you. And it's more like modern playful text saying like, oh, we cover you from, what was it? NYC to Montauk. What is it? Times Square to Montauk?
Manhattan to Montauk.
See, that as M. Alliteration. Right? Yeah. I think it's so called an, it's an alliteration, right? Where you do like the first letter of each word back to back. Yeah. Those always get me. Well done. Well done.
I would love to see them roll this out across all of New York.
Yes. And chase
there
them.
There has to be.
Chase, dude, there has chase to be AT&T. An example. Chase yeah, AT&T if they go
exactly,
to L.A.
Yeah. There has to be an example of this in L.A. from the east side to Inglewood. I don't know. That's an E and an I, but
I wonder if we can get.
Point.
I wonder if we can get John Ledger on here. I mean, he's pretty open. He does a Tuesday Periscope cooking show. I think he could come on here. We've done nothing but praise him because they've been amazing.
I don't think there's anything to do but praise him.
Yeah. I mean, they've been absolutely crushing it. It would be interesting to see what they do with Sprint if they ever get the approval.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've covered a lot. This has to be our longest show.
Yeah. I think we're about at peak where I want to be with these shows. So if you enjoyed it, like, rate, subscribe, do all the things that help us grow and, you know, give us good feedback. We're across
or bad feedback if
or
bad
feedback, yeah,
we appreciate the honest comments nonetheless.
Add us, tweet us, go for it, you know. Like I said, you can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Anchor for early access, and all podcast services around the globe. Go to weRateAds.com, submit questions, join our email list, get direct links to where you can find the shows. Follow us on socials at We Rate Ads on Twitter, We Rate Ads on Instagram. And yeah, I think that about covers it.
Yeah, earned media and the ads of the week. I think we got a lot in on both fronts.
Yeah, it's great talk. Great talk.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we will see you on the social platforms. And thank you for tuning in.
Take care.